Historically, the fourth Sunday in Lent has been called Refreshment Sunday. The gospel that was appointed for this Sunday was the feeding of the 5,000. Our gospel is not so much about Jesus feeding sinners as about him eating with them. Well, is there refreshment for you in that? Not if you're as fresh as can be already. You don't need refreshment if you're doing fine on bread alone. You don't need the Word made flesh, let alone every word that proceeds from God's mouth. Even though Lent started with Jesus telling the devil that man didn't live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding from the mouth of God, you're doing fine on a diet of your words and the words of other men. You may be the younger son, who though outside the father's house, on the inside, he is as fresh as a daisy. He gets his share of the estate, leaves the father's house, and doesn't look back. But the younger son only uses a part of the inheritance. He uses the food, the drink, the house, the home, his reason and all his senses that the father has gifted him. But that's it. In the far country, which might be just outside those doors, or in a dorm room, or an office, or shacking up with a lover, he doesn't use the father's true riches of word and sacrament. He doesn't wash daily in his baptism. He doesn't go to the father's word to see what he thinks. He's outside his father's house, but on the inside, he's golden. Daisy fresh sons can also be inside the father's house on the outside, but outside on the inside. That's the elder son. Notice he takes the father's inheritance along with his younger brother, but he doesn't use it any more than his brother did. He thinks of his sonship as slavery. He thinks he never does anything wrong. He doesn't say, "I never disobeyed your orders, but I never pass by a commandment." And get this, while neither son uses the real treasure of their father's estate, the younger one at least used the physical riches. Sure, he wasted them, but he used them. The elder son used them not at all. And do you see how he seethes over this? Neither son at the beginning needs refreshment. How about you? I think not. Like in the text, something has to happen to expose your hunger, your thirst, your staleness, your rottenness in order for you to need, value, long for refreshment. What happens can be expressed by two questions. Are these real diamonds? And what on earth is going on? First, let's go outside the father's house to the son who is crisp as can be on the inside. A famine strikes the far country, and he becomes in need in a way the natives to that country don't. I say this because he went to a citizen of that country, one who is at home there, and literally he glues himself to him. He forced him to take him on. I say this because how do you handle someone who attaches himself to you, but you don't really want him? You give him a job you don't think he's willing to do. What Jew would feed pigs? But feed pigs he does. And he tries to fill himself with what the pigs eat. And on top of that, no one in that far country will give him anything else. He can find nothing in the far country to satisfy him. He eats and he eats the carob pod. Think of our mesquite or mimosa seed pods. And he gets thinner and thinner. Like in the Stephen King book by that name, he is cursed to be ever eating and always hungry and ever thinner. The rabbis have a proverb. Israel needs the carob to be forced to repentance. Carob beans were poor food, but they were used for weights. The Greek for carob, keratin, comes back to us through the Arabic in the form of our word carat, a unit of weight for diamonds. So, are these diamonds real, or is all that glitters in that far country really cubic zirconium? The son who is happy on the inside, outside the father's house, finds all that freedom, all that happiness, all that lured him away, has left him starving on the inside. What shows the staleness, the emptiness, the rottenness of the son inside the father's house on the outside, but really outside on the inside? What shows the elder son that he needs refreshment? Grace. We first see his hidden bitterness about being in the father's house when he hears music and dancing. He asks his servant, "What on earth is going on?" He uses the optative, which is very rare in New Testament Greek, and it conveys the sense that the elder son can think of absolutely no reason for there being a party inside his father's house. Like his younger brother, he too thinks that could only be a party, there could only be a party outside of the father's house. A party to that elder son could only be with his friends, without his father. Let's recap. The Lord has mercy upon his strayed sons, whether they're astray outside or inside his house. He gives them a case of what a 19th century commentator called divine hypochondria. Hypochondria is abnormal anxiety about one's health. When it comes from God, it's about your spiritual health. It's plain to see how he gives it to the son lost outside of his house. He puts him in need. He shows him nothing in this far country is going to satisfy him. He shows him that hired hands in his father's house are better off than he. He shows him all that glitters is not multi-carat diamonds. And what about the elder son? He knows no need, no hunger, and he's far better off than his father's hired hands, yet he's starving to spiritual death. He's not using the real treasure of the father's house, which are grace, mercy, and forgiveness, because he doesn't think he needs them. His true plight of being outside the father's house, even while on the inside, needs to be exposed. That happens when he comes face to face with what real grace, real mercy, and real forgiveness are. This happens when his father throws a party for the ages for his brother who does not deserve it. And unless you and I, insiders of the father's house, hear what the music and dancing are really all about, we'll remain outside of his house even while we're in it. It will help if we correctly locate where the refreshment is. You know, it can't be in the older son's self-righteousness, his sense of being wronged, or pride, although you can feel he is strengthened as he unloads the truth about what that prodigal son did compared to what he has done. But that only brings a kind of fallen refreshment. And you can't locate refreshment in the younger son either. Don't find divine refreshment in his self-talk, in his coming to his senses, in his determination to go home, in his determination to admit his sin, and his promise that he'll do better. If you locate refreshment in the sons, you're only going to end up eating your heart out. You'll try to find refreshment in your pride, your right doing, your deservedness. But you'll eat and you'll eat and you'll get none better. Likewise, if you seek refreshment in the depths of your repentance or in your promises to make things up, the problem here is you're going to feel pious, you'll feel spiritual, you'll feel faithful even. But you're no less eating your own heart out than the older son, and the result is going to be the same. Refreshment in the text is shown in the father going out to both sons. And you can't see that unless you see that neither deserve it. Dropping the parable, the father goes out to both in the incarnation of the son. Remember, he who has seen me has seen the father. That's what Jesus says. God humbled himself. God humiliated himself for both sons. He runs to the son who had wasted his living and comes home smelling of a pigsty. And before the son utters one word of repentance, God Almighty is filled with compassion for him, runs to him, throws his arms around him, and covers him with kisses. Now, how can the father do this? Because his other son, his third son, took his place in the pigsty. Jesus was stripped of his clothing so the best robe could be put on you. Jesus' hands were nailed to a cross with 9-inch nails heated in hellfire so that your hand could wear the signet ring of heaven that opens all the treasures of God's house. Grace, mercy, peace, life today, and salvation for all the tomorrows. Jesus' sandals were removed and his feet were nailed to a cross that filled his feet with 1,000 splinters for each one of your sins, so that you could be shod with sandals, giving you the power to tread on all the power of the evil one. See this son re-entering the father's house and partying hardy. What about the elder son? And remember where this all began. It began with church leaders being incensed that Jesus ate with sinners. And that's the issue here. Will the elder son go into a party in honor of his younger brother who was lost but is now found, who was dead but is now raised? Will we? Do we? Can we? Inside the Father's house is eternal refreshment. But to go in means to confess we too have been outside the Father's house, no less than that bold, brash sinner has been, and that they can come back, and we're willing to eat with them. The Father comes and gets us too. The Father leaves the party where the whole community has gathered, humiliating himself to go to that pouting elder son. This is you when your child is publicly being a brat, embarrassing you, and yet you go to him. I'm not giving you parenting advice. I'm saying that God's grace is so over the top that it can only be illustrated sometimes by poor parenting. Here you're the pouting son, and the father doesn't respond to your outbursts of self-defense and self-righteousness with my son, as the insert has it, but with my child. A term of tenderness and endearment. My child, even though you have turned your nose up at grace and forgiveness for sinners, even though you have regarded life in my house as slavery, not family, you are always with me, and everything I have is still yours. Now the gulp that was from last week, that was Jesus's, this week is ours. Hear those present tenses. When we get on our self-righteous hobby horse, riding hell-bent away from God, he nevertheless remains with us. When we don't use his grace, mercy, or peace, when we don't think we need his forgiveness, life, or salvation, all of these that are his remain ours. No matter how long we have felt no need for the refreshment of the Father's house, no matter that the road away from the Father goes on forever, the party never ends, and you're always invited to come back in. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.